Stephen Johnson was among the first American Peace Corps volunteers in Ethiopia in the 1960s, shortly after the organization was founded by President John F. Kennedy. He had just graduated from college and was part of a group of teachers sent to help a country where formal education was rare.
In those days, there was no attempt to educate the masses. It was an elitist system in which, 1% even went to school? That was a guess, but it was roughly that. And even those who started the school system in those days, only 5% finished and went on to the university.
Johnson recalls that the first wave of 700 Peace Corps teachers made up more than half of all secondary school teachers in Ethiopia. It was the biggest Peace Corps operation in the world at the time. Now, nearly 40 years after his service ended, Johnson is back in Ethiopia as a businessman. He expresses astonishment at the increase in education opportunities over those years.
These days, from, let's say, when I arrived in 1964, where there were probably 10 government high schools in the whole country, one figure I've heard is that there's over 600 now.
That Peace Corps teaching mission operated in Ethiopia until 1977, when it was withdrawn under the disastrous military regime led by Mengistu Haile Mariam. After Mengistu fled to Zimbabwe, the Peace Corps returned in the mid-90s, only to be pulled out 3 years later when a border war erupted between Ethiopia and Eritrea. Ironically, the latest return comes just as the simmering border dispute is threatening to boil over again. Stephen Johnson dismisses the talk of another possible war. He argues that the Peace Corps mission should go on anyway.
The rumors about potential wars and so on, they're always around. I think that this kind of talk is not necessarily means that there's anything special going on right now.
The Peace Corps director for Ethiopia, Peter Parr, agrees. He says there are many good reasons why Ethiopia has invited the U.S. volunteer group back a third time.
I certainly hope that those sorts of tensions that we saw earlier don't continue. Ethiopia is on a political stabilization track and an economic growth track. So there is a lot of reason for the government and the representatives of government and the representatives of the international community to assist in the stabilization of the region.
Parr notes that this new group of volunteers is unlike previous Peace Corps missions in several ways. For one thing, the group is small. 43 volunteers, who receive a small salary for their services, arrived this month for language and culture training in preparation for their mission. That's far fewer than the 700 who were here in the 1960s. For another, the group is not made up of school teachers. They will go mostly to rural areas to help people understand the dangers of HIV/AIDS. But Parr says the mission is unchanged.
The mission for Peace Corps still remains the same as it was when President Kennedy and Mr. Shriver initiated the Peace Corps. Peace and friendship is the mission. And then there are the three goals of transfer of skills to other people and communicating information and values about American culture and learning about other people's values and culture and taking that back to America and sharing it back home.
Stephen Johnson from the initial Peace Corps team in Ethiopia says it is important for the volunteer group to reopen here despite the political turmoil and the war that forced the shutdown of the first two missions.
I think you have to try. If there's any place in the world where the Peace Corps can be of value, Ethiopia is a place like that.
Johnson, one of nearly 3,000 Americans who served in Ethiopia during the earlier missions, believes Peace Corps volunteers benefit as much as their hosts. He says every country, including the United States, has the need for people to give of themselves to help other people. He says the Peace Corps fulfills that need. Peter Heinlein, VOA News, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.